In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shouting.
Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. We celebrate all the God-pleasing ones from all the ages. The epistle text today references several of those Old Testament saints without naming them by name, but referencing them by what they did and what they accomplished through faith. We celebrate All Saints Day 1 week after Pentecost, and we do so intentionally because All Saints Day following 1 week after Pentecost, it's proclaiming a theological truth that we hold to, and that is centered on the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to earth at Pentecost and is bestowed upon mankind at Pentecost, and this is what makes sainthood possible. It is the Holy Spirit who comes into the world, who interacts with human beings to change us and transform us and make us into saints. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to produce saints, to make individuals into saints. We need to recognize that the saints did not become saints by their own strength, by their own wisdom, by their own efforts, by their own abilities. It was the Holy Spirit who worked in them to transform them. It was the Holy Spirit who gave them strength. It was the Holy Spirit who provided them with the wisdom of God. It was, in fact, the Holy Spirit who worked through their God-given talents and abilities. They did not make themselves saints, but the Holy Spirit made them saints by transforming them. However, it's not enough for us to merely proclaim this truth today. We must likewise recognize that this truth has much to do with us today, because we need to understand that we are connected to this truth. And this connection to this truth calls us to action ourselves. And the connection is this. We have all been chrismated. We have received the sacrament of chrismation, and that is our personal Pentecost. And it is our own individual reception of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and fills our life and equips us and enables us to walk that same path and to pursue that same of old walked in that same goal that they pursued. The Holy Spirit comes to us in the same manner that the Holy Spirit came to the saints of old to transform us even as He transformed them. This morning, I think it's important for us to recognize a couple of things that we think about the saints without perhaps saying it out loud or perhaps, you know, proclaiming it in some treatise or something. But I think a lot of times people have a wrong impression of the saints. And there's two things that I want to call attention to this morning. Two ideas that we have about the saints that are essentially wrong, that in fact lead us to not react as we are supposed to react. Because we see the saints as something so other than us, so other than human, so different than our humanity, that we do not think that the path that they walked is the path that all of us must walk. And so I want to address those two things this morning to help us to understand that the saints, in fact, are human beings like us with struggles, who walk through hardships, who experience mundane moments in life. That first impression that we have that I think is wrong is that we have this impression that the saints are some kind of spiritual superhero, that have some kind of spiritual superpower that they possess. And they're just given that, and they, whether it be spiritual insight or be it wisdom or zeal or some miraculous power that God has given them, they're just born with these special abilities, and they're unlike the rest of us because they have these spiritual superpowers at work in them. And what we need to understand is when we embrace such an idea of the saints, it not only dishonors the saints, but it leads us away from the essential truth of what happened in the saints' lives. The saints didn't become saints because they possessed some spiritual superpower. The saints became saints because God was at work in them. It was the power of God that worked through them that was the power that was seen in their life. They were ordinary human beings like the rest of us who God worked through. But they learned to live in communion with God. They learned to follow Christ faithfully. They learned to persevere on the path of salvation. They became willing vessels of the Holy Spirit who worked through them and used them as an instrument. It is indeed true that some saints possessed some spiritual gift, perhaps a great spiritual gift. However, what we must understand today is that spiritual gifts are given to all of us. It's part of the package of receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us and he endows us with gifts, and he seeks to work through those natural abilities that we have. So it is, in fact, true that we can learn to live as the saints lived, and we can learn to walk as the saints walked, because the same Holy Spirit who enabled them is the same Holy Spirit who is at work in us. The same Holy Spirit, if we open our hearts to him, will work in us and work through us. So for us, All Saints Day is more than a celebration of the saints of old. For us, it's a celebration of God's redemptive work in all of humanity. We celebrate God's completed work in them, but we are also ultimately celebrating God's work in the present, in our midst, in our lives. We recall the past to help us in our present, to take action in the present, so that we in fact shape our future. The saints of old completed the race of faith. They've crossed the finish line, and now, as the apostle says in the epistle text, they surround us as a great cloud of witnesses. And in fact, in a sense, they are cheering us on in that same race of faith that we are called to run. There's a second impression that I think we have of the saints that is also erroneous, and that is that we seem to read the lives of the saints and we walk away with this impression that the saints lived in a constant state of excitement, that their lives were always exciting and they were always on these mountaintop spiritual experiences, that somehow they experienced one miraculous feat after another, after another, after another. Somehow that they had mystical, miraculous experiences as part of their daily life and perhaps many times a day. But all it takes is a little closer examination of the saints' lives and we realize this is not entirely the perspective that is a true perspective. That in fact their lives had dull moments. Their lives perhaps could be described as boring. They had, indeed, they accomplished great feats, but after those great feats, there would often be a lull of silence and insignificance that sometimes continued for a period of years or even decades. You see, that's the kind of data that's not exciting to read about in the lives of the saints. When we read the lives of the saints, it's the important details of the good stuff, the things that we want to read about. That's what we focus on, because mundane details of their life, in between those feats that were accomplished, those don't seem as important. It's not as exciting of a story for us to tell, for us to hear. And thus it is we develop this impression that, because those are the stories that are told, that that's all that their life was. But that's a wrong perspective. They in fact had moments that were common and ordinary, and if you looked from the outside at their life, it would look very much like our lives. We think of St. Athanasius, for example, who we credit with defeating the heresy of Arius and the Arian misnomer about Christ. And we speak of that, and the hymns speak of him as triumphing over the Arian heresy that was a danger in the church in the 4th century. But it is often the case that we don't know anything about St. Athanasius' life in the years that follow the First Ecumenical Council. He's actually a young man at the First Ecumenical Council, and it is indeed true his teachings prevail at the First Ecumenical Council over Arius' teachings. And this is condemned as a heresy, while the teachings of St. Athanasius on the Incarnation are upheld as the truth of the gospel and what we would uphold and proclaim down through the ages to this present day. But we forget that St. Athanasius was beginning his ministry. And for the next 50 years of his life, approximately, it was 46, I think, approximately after that, for the approximate 50 years, and certainly the 50 years, 50 plus years from that council to the second council, guess what? The Arian heresy did not go away, even though it had been defeated at the First Ecumenical Council. It just went underground and served to promote its cause in a subversive manner, in a deceptive manner. And so they changed their terminology, they changed how they described it, but essentially it was Arian heresy, just redrafted and put in a new package so it wouldn't be immediately recognized as heresy. But St. Athanasius did recognize it as heresy. And he continued over those 50 years to fight the same battle that had already been won at the First Ecumenical Council. And it's also true that those that were working to promote this Arian heresy, they also schemed against St. Athanasius because they didn't like the fact that he was on to their plan and that he was speaking clearly the truth of the incarnation and continued to preach clearly the truth of the incarnation. And their scheming against St. Athanasius led to him being exiled. Not once, not twice. 5 different times he was exiled. Led away into exile, and then the people begged and implored and brought him back. And then once again a new scheme was hatched, and again he's led away to exile. 5 times St. Athanasius was exiled. We speak of St. John Chrysostom, and we sometimes think of his name is Chrysostom, and it's in fact not. It's a title that we attribute to him because there's so many St. Johns in the church, and because he's known for being this golden orator, the golden-mouthed preacher. We cherish his volumes of theological writings, his sermons. We hear the glorious Paschal sermon every year at Pascha that was written by him. We celebrate his divine liturgy this morning. We certainly recognize his contribution to the life and the faith, to the life of the church and the faith that we hold. But we likewise forget that in his day, even though he was loved in his day, he also was hated in his day. There were people that did not like what he was out to accomplish in the church, which was basically just upholding the truth and the simplicity of the gospel. And so he opposed many of his own day, many of his clergy who had embraced a much more lavish lifestyle than he felt was appropriate for clergy to embark upon. When he took the throne in Constantinople and became the archbishop, he literally cleaned the house of its furniture because he felt that the furniture was far too posh for his taste, and he wanted to live much more modestly. When people would come over, he would serve a modest dinner in his meetings with people. And this was offensive to some of the clergy of his day that had found their way to the capital city and were utilizing that place to promote themselves and to experience the pleasures of this life, essentially. So many of his own clergy, priests and his fellow bishops, hated him. And likewise, the empress of the day hated him as well. And this led to many conflicts. He too was an exile, experienced exile more than once. And in fact, he died while under his last exile. So though he is the golden-tongued orator that we speak of, he also experienced hardship. He experienced life and the struggles and the pain that we go through. That's what most of the saints' lives were like. They were lives like ours. It's true that the saints of old accomplished great feats. They performed wondrous works, but it's also true that the saints of old experienced uneventful seasons, times of boredom. But through it all, they learned to remain faithful to Christ and to persevere following after him. So our false notions about the saints need to be dispelled, because as long as we think of the saints as superheroes with spiritual superpowers, as long as we think of the saints living in a constant state of victorious excitement, then we fail to see how they are much like us. And thus we fail to see how the path that they walked is in fact the same path that we must embark on in our lives. The saints' power was the power of God at work in them. They did accomplish great things, but it was through the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. And we must remember today that we have received the same Holy Spirit in our lives. And we must also recognize how the saints experience common and mundane moments in life, and yet through those moments. And the same path of perseverance is open for all of us. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in the epistle text to run the race with perseverance. Beings who, like us, lived through the hardships of life. The saints ran their race faithfully with their eyes fixed upon Christ. The saints persevered by the power of God at work in them. The saints now surround us as a great cloud of witnesses, and they pray for us, and they cheer us on in our race. It is the same race that is before each one of us today. And it is the same Holy Spirit who fills us and strengthens us for the task of running that race. We simply need to take the steps that are before us and run that race with perseverance. Perhaps our life isn't all that exciting right now, but we have to learn to persevere with our eyes fixed upon Christ. In the race of faith, we need to understand that there are essentially no winners or losers. There are simply, there is no placing of who comes in first, second, third, and so forth. It's simply those who finish the race and those who do not finish the race. The race is not merely for the saints of old. The race of faith is a race that all of us as believers are entered into. And we must run that race with perseverance. The race is not merely for the saints. They finished the race, and they're cheering us on for us to finish ourselves. So let us not make excuses for ourselves by thinking that the saints are somehow different than we are, experiencing life in a different manner than we did. Let us recognize the race that was before them is the race that is before us. And let us run that race before us. Let us now lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every excuse. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily clings to us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfection of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.